Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. Today is the Friendly Witch Doctor Show. And a couple weeks ago, Shelley and I talked about all the different things that we've talked about on the health show on Wednesdays. And we realized one of the things that we hadn't talked about, even though we've talked about things like chemical sensitivities and things like that, is the danger of your own home. And it's not just, although this is important, it's not just about the mildew that can grow behind the walls or the mold that can grow in your air conditioning ducts or the chemicals that you use in your house. A lot of the problem with some older homes is they've absorbed a lot of other energy. And we want to talk about that today. We're going to talk about all of it. But we really want to remind everybody that energy is everywhere. Good and bad energy, positive, negative energy, it's everywhere. And Shelley and I in particular believe in saging homes, properties, even blessing them to some extent to get rid of old energy. Now, for some of you out there, you're thinking, geez, Renee and Shelley don't usually talk about things that are like this far off the wall. It's not that far off the wall anymore. The world has been around for a very, very long time. The earth has been inhabited for a very, very long time. And there's lots of stuff going on in the energy field that we don't usually talk about. But if you are a sensitive person, you'll feel it almost always. I'm going to bring Shell in so that we can talk about this at length. And then I have some other information that I want to share with you if you are struggling with some of the other obvious things like mold and mildew and chemicals and things like that. Good morning, Shell.
Well, good morning, Renee.
How you doing, kiddo?
I'm doing real good. Very good.
That's good. It looks like it's going to be a nice day today, although when I listened to the weather report at 5 o'clock this morning, it was saying we were going to have more thunderstorms. I love thunderstorms. They don't bother me at all, but my dog is like a psycho. Yesterday, if he could have just sat on my head, he might have been okay. I mean, he climbs up, cries, climbs up, puts his face right next to mine, shaking like he's got like he swallowed a vibrator. And he's, like, beside himself. I even opened, I have this little table now in the living room since we took out all the other furniture. And AJ will get in this little, it's like an octagon table with a door. And inside, AJ would sit inside and watch TV just because he thought it was cool. I opened the door, and Chewbacca even got in there.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
So he's just scared to death. So I'm hoping it's not going to be that bad again today because I get frustrated because I can't. Yesterday when it finally calmed down, he just laid across my lap and I just petted him for about a half hour and he finally quit tremoring. But when it's in mid-storm, I try to hug him. I put a blanket around him. Nothing stops him from being scared. Nothing.
Right.
So I'm hoping that doesn't happen today. So like I said, I do want to touch on some of the obvious things that everybody's aware of. I mean, we live in a world now that is, very aware of chemical sensitivities. And you and I both know at the Institute, one of the most difficult challenges that we went through was trying to keep the property pristine enough for somebody who had chemical sensitivities. Because it's inclusive of everything if they've got it real bad, everything. Everything from the obvious things of mold and mildew to perfume to perfumed lotions to even many that we met couldn't deal with natural oils.
Mm-hmm. Essential oils, right?
Mm-hmm. Essential oils we always used. I mean, Anna taught us very early on to help people who were suffering with angst and, you know, just like beside themselves for whatever reason, rubbing lavender oil on their temples, and people who were really in the throes of fighting cancer, when they'd get just like really upset, we'd use Rescue Remedy and lavender again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it has so much worth unless you've got those chemical sensitivities. And I want to, before we get real deep in it, I want to let everybody know I was dealing with one lady who was a somewhat famous ballerina. And this was many, many years ago. And I was having trouble swallowing this because I don't suffer from it. Although I am sensitive to certain smells, I don't suffer from it like I know now so many people do. So I did a test. I do these things frequently just to check for my own self and to help me see the situation somebody is in a little bit more firsthand, instead of just listening to their you know, their problem. I try to find out what it would be like for myself. So I take a long shower and don't use anything but water. I didn't even use soap. I just washed with water, dried, didn't put on deodorant, didn't put on any kind of, which, you know, I love all that stuff, and went to Macy's at the mall. And they've stopped doing it in the last few years. But do you remember, like, even as short a time ago as, like, 7 years ago, when you walked into a Macy's, there was somebody from the cosmetic counter who wanted to spritz you or put something on your hand or show you something? You remember?
Even
how
if
they
you weren't walking to the door, sometimes they'd be out near the entrance.
Right, right. And they'd always, like, you know, zoom in on you. Well, that was the first thing I came across. So I put that on my mental checklist. You know, what about these people? How embarrassing that must be to try to sidestep this very aggressive salesperson. As I got deeper into the store, I made myself very aware of all the smells. And it wasn't just the cosmetic counter that was kind of overwhelming. That's where I thought I would find the most smells. I found the most smells in the back, where they have all the tools and all the rubber stuff.
Right, tires,
you know,
and stuff.
Like, yes, yes. And it was, even for me, gave me a headache. And I'd never noticed it before, Shelley. It never bothered me before. But I guess because I made myself so aware of what it was I was looking for, It was really overwhelming. The smell,
mm-hmm,
of the rubber from the tires, the stuff that they put on the WD-40, which I found out since that WD-40 is very dangerous if you have any sensitivities. There's a couple other products that are out there now that will do the same thing without some of the same chemicals in it. The tools themselves, some of the tools that have to be greased, you know, like some of the big wrenches that guys that work on your engine work on, they have to keep those lubricated. And that,
mm-hmm,
lubrication, I could smell all that stuff. It was overwhelming.
Yep.
Then I went to the salon in Macy's.
Oh.
And that was like, oh, my good God. And I've been coloring my hair and doing stuff to my hair my whole life, right?
Uh-huh.
And as a 17-year-old, went to beautician school. I can't tell you how many permanents I've given, how many people's hair I've stripped completely of all color. I mean, I've done all that. And I was overwhelmed by all of that, too. It gave me a whole new outlook and a more of a compassion, empathy for these people. So if you don't take it seriously because it doesn't bother you, I want you to think about that someday and just pay attention to the smells that you're smelling. So now when you go in someplace like that, imagine if when you walked in a place like that, like the cosmetic counter, what if you've got the kind of sensitivities where your throat closes right up?
Right, right.
Because that happens to some of them. We've seen Diane Lahosky get to the point where she can't even breathe.
Right. Well, that's what happened to me. I had MCS, which is it's called multiple chemical sensitivities. And when I had my chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, when I had those particular symptoms and diagnoses, going back 15, 20 years ago, I could not walk into a store. I always knew when we were getting near the automotive department or the cheap sneaker department would do the same thing to me.
That's another place, yes. Yes, I was going to mention the shoe department.
Right, and even if I didn't know if I was just walking into a store with somebody for the first time, the minute we got near those two areas, I would have to look up at the signs and see if in fact we were near there, and if we were, I had to avoid it, because if I actually walked into one of those aisles, it wasn't my lungs that hurt me. I started getting such severe heart pain, and my heart would start racing. I would get tachycardia. And it affected my heart, because when I had allergic reactions, that's the muscle. It caused like almost like a cramp in my heart, and my heart rate would change. I would get very lightheaded, and it was embarrassing to me. So I never said anything to anybody. I would just tell them, "Oh, I don't like the smell here," and I'd walk in a different direction because I didn't like bringing attention to myself. And I think that's what kept me okay, is because I didn't get histrionic or melodramatic. I didn't start saying, "Oh, my God, what is that?" In my head, I reacted to it, and I would just calmly walk to a different area of the store, and I would tell people that the smell offended me, you know. But what was happening is that I was actually in physical pain at that moment. If I had gone in there, I don't know what would have happened, because it was so strenuous that I didn't take the chance of forcing myself to go in either department.
Well, on another note, I want to share with our listening audience that I've also seen my Shelley walk through a chocolate shop and just take in the scents in a chocolate shop and then walk back out without buying any chocolate. So just on a side note.
I can get aromatherapy either direction.
Yeah,
if
there
it's
you
bad,
go.
I'm going to walk
there
away from
go.
It. But I'll just stand there and enjoy it.
Yeah. The only person I know that goes in to smell the chocolate. So so all of these things, and like I said, we have had some, and one of the other things that I see happens to somebody who doesn't take control of this, and this is said with love and compassion and empathy to anybody out there who's suffering from this, your reaction has a lot to do with your reaction.
Right.
Just like Shelley just said, when she realized she was getting, you know, that feeling, instead of pushing a panic button or overreacting to the point where, because once your body sends that message and your brain sends it back, you can put yourself in one hell of a state.
Right.
So a lot of this is, just knowing that you can't go in there, knowing that you have to steer clear. But, you know, the drama involved in so many of the guests that we took care of at the Institute, I mean, as long as I live, I will never forget one guest who I ended up loving to death in her 70s. She ended up buying a travel trailer, a really tiny one, and moving to the hills in Arizona. And even there were certain pine trees or something she wrote to me that would have a scent that would bother her. But she used to wear one of those old-fashioned gas masks.
Yeah, I remember her.
That came out, I don't know, like in the 40s or 50s or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she really could not function when the smells would get the best of her. Well, she was absolutely positively a character, and one that you couldn't help care about because she, I mean, I remember, I still have a beautiful scarf that she knitted for me. She was just one of those eclectic personalities. But it almost killed her when she was young. And, of course, that drama in her life made her who she ended up being when we met her in her 70s. And she was just at the Institute about a year ago for the first time in a long time. But it is a serious problem. And of course, today, with all of the smells that are out there, good and bad, I can understand why it would be troublesome. There are some people, in accordance to what I've read about this, that like our bubble boys or bubble girls, you know, they just stay in an environment that they know is safe and clean and appropriate for them to breathe in, and they don't ever venture anyplace else, which is sad for me to think about.
It is.
But go ahead.
No, I was going to say it is sad because these things can be dealt with. I mean, I'm living proof of that. I know other people like myself that have gotten over it. It's basically a defective immune system that is recognizing normal things that we're, you know, affected by as being pathogens, or being oversensitive to things that really are pathogens, because obviously that rubber isn't something that's okay, but if you have a normally functioning immune system, it's really not an issue. Like, I can walk around the cheap sneaker aisle and tires down, I'm still aware of the smell, and I'll get a little bit of a chest cramp, but it's not aggressive anymore, it doesn't concern me, I'm aware of it, and I don't linger there too long. I still have a little bit of the sensitivities, but nothing like it was when I was younger. So as I strengthened my immune system and cleared a lot of the other issues, that diminished substantially to the point where it's not really life-affecting anymore, you know, even though I'm still aware of it to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that it is important to be aware of those things for sure and to react to them. When you and I both talk about, you know, getting control of it, everybody has to do that in their own way. We get that.
That's right.
But
right.
The point I was trying to make before is if you, anything that you overreact to becomes worse. You
That's
kind
right.
of compound the fracture, you know.
Yep.
So it is a matter of getting control of it first in your mind, and then the rest of your body will follow suit. Now, I do want to say a couple little things, and then we're going to get into the energies in the house and saging and blessing an old home and things like that. And Shelley and I have both watched a lot of the haunting shows and things like that. I don't really want to get into the spirit world and seeing ghosts and things like that, although I find that very interesting, and we will do a show about that. But I'm talking about the energy itself, something you can't see, just something you can feel. And if you ever have walked into a big building, I'm not real comfortable in a couple of the museums in New York City.
Yeah.
All my girlfriends were. They loved it. I was not real comfortable in some of them, and I didn't know why. They made me feel just a little bit nauseous, and the ones that I felt that way in were the ones that were like bedrooms of kings past and queens and things like that. There was an energy in there that made me feel like somebody was squeezing me. I never told anybody that, but I thought about that morning while I was writing about this and thinking about this to do the show. And even in some of the older things, do you remember the part in the one museum that we were in that had all those musical instruments that Diane was so enthralled by?
Yes.
You know, the really, really old-fashioned stuff. Yes. I was good when we walked into the to the left-hand side of it, and then we came around the side, and there were all these little, like, handmade wooden musical instruments, and I felt, like, real heavy air on me, real heavy air. I can't explain any of that, but I had to leave. I walked downstairs where it was open and there were big pictures on the wall and statues and stuff like that. I was comfortable with all that. In those other spaces, I was not, I don't know, I just wasn't comfortable. So I do want to talk about that, and I do want to, and if there's anybody out there that's listening to the show right now that has ever experienced that, I'd love to hear about that. But if you are struggling in your home, say you've moved in, even if it's an apartment, apartments that have got two or more floors often have atrocious leaks in your ceiling from the floor above, from the bathroom lines, from the air conditioning leaking, from all these different things. And one of the things that I find here in Florida is if you live in a wallpapered home, which old-fashioned wooden houses almost always used wallpaper. If you pull up the wallpaper and underneath the wallpaper is black, you need to get rid of all of that. You need to get rid of all of that. And if you're thinking about buying a home, an older home that you're going to refurbish and you have these issues, please go behind the toilet, if there's wallpaper in particular, and lift up the wallpaper behind the toilet. If it's black, you probably don't want this house. The other thing that you need to check for is around any of the ductwork and things like that. Dust is one thing, because the cold air and the hot air and everything makes the dust. And that can be cleaned off, and that could be hazardous for some of you, but not all of you. But if it's black around there, then you've got mold coming from your AC and from all of the vents from your AC.
That's right.
So there are some things that you can do. Another thing, carpeting in Florida. If you have wall-to-wall carpeting and you walk in a house and you see that the windows are not real great in some of the older homes, maybe not tightly sealed, and maybe, this used to kill me at Hippocrates, because people would say, I have to open my window, I need fresh air. I'd say, the air is not fresh. It's 93 degrees outside. There's nothing fresh about it. It's still, it's hot, it's not fresh. So in order to keep this room comfortable for yourself, you have to keep your windows closed and keep the AC set at like around 77, 78 degrees, and you'll be comfortable. We keep the ACs clean, we keep the air ducts clean, all that kind of stuff. When you open a window here in Florida with all the humidity in the air and you're trying to air condition your home, first of all, that's a flagrant misuse of your money, number one. And number two, you're going to produce condensation. You're going to make your walls sweat, you're going to make your floors sweat, and if you've got a carpet on your floor, you're not going to see that your floor is sweating. I have all tiles here. When I do that, even in the wintertime, if I open all the windows and we have a really warm afternoon, you can feel the moisture on my tile floors when you walk on them barefooted. You can make footprints because there's so much moisture on the floor. And that's because the house is cool now because it's been cold all morning, and then you open that warm air out and it produces condensation. So if you've got a carpet on the floor with a padding, a foam rubber padding in most cases, imagine what you're growing underneath there. So that's another thing that you need to check. Underneath carpeting, if it's a fully carpeted home, be so careful if you have these issues. Carpeting is not for Florida. I don't care what anybody tells you. Neither is wallpaper. Not for Florida. Our weather is not conducive to having a living, breathing house covered with something that can't breathe with it. So if you do have those things, there's ozone machines now that they put out there. They used to be very dangerous, ozone machines. And you've got a couple different kinds. Some of them take the particles out of the air and clean up the air that way. Some of them release ozones to clean up the air that way. One takes away, one adds to neutralize the air. There's different kinds, and there's different sizes. You'd need to talk to somebody who really is a professional with ozone machines. But I've been able, in my years in the hotel business, you know, hotels are notorious for having bad things happen in the rooms. I don't want to go into what they can be, but it's not so nice. So I used ozone machines a lot, and I can't tell you how many times I talked different owners into taking carpeting out of hotel rooms or
motel. Well, what about humidifiers? I mean, if it's your own personal home, you wouldn't want to have it in a hotel room. But what about dehumidifiers in Florida? Like, say, if you wanted to have a particular room in your house carpeted, would it help to have a dehumidifier in that particular room?
It would help a little bit, but only if you keep the house airtight, like I said. The minute you start opening things or the minute you don't have good ceiling around your house, then you're contending with the outside air. And to dehumidify Florida air, talk about an unrealistic venture. That would be one of them.
Yeah, so it would be very hard.
Our humidity is almost 100 and something every day, honey.
Yeah, gotcha. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, because I know
that
I
in that regard, I do believe in dehumidifiers and humidifiers, especially if you have COPD, especially if you have things like that going on, because the dryness that takes place, if you have, we talked about this on the sleep apnea show, about falling asleep and with your mouth open because you're a snorer or something like that. If you have a humidifier in an airtight room, I think that that's very beneficial. A few years ago when Spike got sick the first time with pneumonia, I put in just a very inexpensive tabletop humidifier, and it made all the difference in the world in his own personal comfort.
Wow, very good.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, of course, that you're going to have to worry about is insecticides, and in Florida, they're big.
Yep.
Insecticides in your lawn, in your house. We have bugs of every size, shape, color. I can't even imagine. I never read anything about how many bugs we have in Florida, but I would say that there's millions. So it is dangerous if you struggle with these kind of issues. But there are some simple things. There's things like boric acid. There's things like even baking soda that can help you keep some of those things under control. And, of course, I used to do a class about insecticides at Hippocrates, because if we'd have left all of it alone instead of coming up with all of the poisons, we've created amazing mutations. And a palmetto bug here in Florida, I dare say, could run up against the biggest lion you've ever seen and still survive. So we created that, though. We created that. I mean, I've seen palmetto bugs that are 3 inches long. And
I have
the only thing you can kill them with is either by stepping on them, if you're as heavy as I am. Shelley might not be able to kill one that way, but I could. And but it's, I mean, you know, they're monsters. They're really monsters, and, of course, they're filthy. So insecticides, there are some natural things that you can use, and I would say to you, research that, because you know where your problems lie and what won't bother you and what will. But I would absolutely positively have something that's more natural. And there are a lot of companies out there now that profess to use all natural products to be your exterminator. Don't believe all of them, especially if you have these issues. Don't believe all of them.
And they
toilet
also
bowl
have,
cleaners. Go
they
ahead.
Also have something called zero landscaping. It's definitely worth looking into that, especially if you like gardening, if you, you know, if you enjoy kind of being in your yard and planting things. There's something called zero landscaping. And what that is that there are certain types of plants that repel certain types of insects. They don't like them. They won't come near them. So if you have an issue with ants or roaches or something like that, there are certain plants that you can plant around the foundation of your house that will deter these pests from being on your property. So if you can prevent them from even coming into the house, then you don't have that issue. If you've already got the problem in the house, you have to figure out how to take care of it, you know, maybe with baiting or something like that. But if you prevent new infestation from coming in and then you clear your house, then you've kind of completely solved the problem. I had tried that with, I forgot what it was now, but that's sort of how I cleared my house. I had put some of the plants around the front of my house. I must have brought something home from the store. I never had any kind of bugs in my house, and then all of a sudden I was infested. And I got rid of it inside the house, but I put some of this around the foundation. This is going back years ago, so now I can't remember what it was. And it worked. They never came back. Once I cleared the house, it was cleared permanently. So it was really cool. But the nice thing about zero landscaping is it's you're using nature to control nature, which is the whole concept of it. So if anybody wants to Google that, there's books on it. I think even Home Depot had a course on it. So you might want to check with Home Depot, see if they're still doing courses on that. But it was a fascinating concept, and I loved it. And there's a lot of books on the subject for people who want to be able to do it on their own. And it tells you what flowers and plants and bushes and stuff deter what type of pests and how you can put them in concert with each other to really keep your lawn free of the bugs that attack your lawn and to keep your house free of the bugs that would infest the home.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's even mosquito plants and things like that. There's a lot of things. As a matter of fact, here in Florida, we have several places now who are advocates of natural farming or growing. It's beyond organic. It's not about just not using insecticides. It's about utilizing the way things grew in the very beginning before we got so innovative with all of our chemicals. And even in our big sugar cane fields and things like that, and corn fields. In the beginning, they put other plants around the cornfields, around the sugar cane, to protect. They were plants that were hardier, and they'd outline a garden, a huge garden, you know, acres of land, with these other bushes, plants, whatever you want to call them, that would help protect the garden. And it's the same with actually bringing in the kind of bugs that you want that just burrow and keep turning the soil, having worms.
What about that wine I saw at Whole Foods? It's called Predator, and it has a picture of a ladybug on the label. That's their that's the company logo for this particular wine, and it just struck me funny. I said, why would you name a wine with a picture of a ladybug Predator? Where did you get that from? And then he explained to me that this particular wine company actually grows their own ladybugs. They actually have a ladybug farm on the farm where they grow the grapes, and they keep creating generation after generation of ladybug, put them out there, because they are predators against all the insects that would – I never thought of a ladybug as a predator. But the ladybugs will actually destroy all the insects that would destroy the crop, but they don't attack the fruit. So they protect the fruit, and they're actually very beneficial to the crop, and they keep away other insects that would eat the grapes or eat the stalks and things like that. So it was fascinating to me. So here, this is a natural insect that's actually symbiotic to the wine fields. That's a predator against the insects that would harm it. So, and that's how they use it. So, it's an organic wine, They don't use any chemical pesticides. They don't use any chemical fertilizers. And what they use to protect their crops are their own home ground, generation after generation, grown ladybugs. I thought that was fascinating.
I love that. Well, I remember as a child always being told that ladybugs were our friends and to never, ever kill a ladybug. Because ladybugs do a lot of things to help our gardens, our earth, everything. Mm-hmm. That they are absolutely our friend. I never questioned it because who wouldn't like a ladybug? I mean, the whole issue of a ladybug with this cute little red and black shell on her back that are her wings. I mean, what about it isn't to love? I mean, it seemed perfect to me. But mm-hmm. I think that a lot of the stuff that we've done for ourselves is what harms us. So I love that. I never heard of that. You know, up where I'm from in upstate New York, that's grown into major wine country. And it was nothing to live in a house out in the country and go out one day and see that you had a grapevine growing in off your fence or something. They just sprout up all over sometimes. But, of course, if you want to really do something with the grapes, you have to take care of them. It's the same with raspberries or blackberries or any of that stuff. It grows in a lot of places. And if it's taken care of, it thrives. If it isn't, then sometimes it dies off. But my kids used to go berry picking all the time. I can't tell you how many different kinds of berry cobblers I've made. So, that's interesting. I'm going to have to research that a little bit more because I do know about some of the bugs, and I knew ladybugs were our friend. And I
probably do a show on zero landscaping. With that, I should probably educate myself a little bit more because it's, especially with everything else we advocate, it just makes sense to eliminate pesticides and fertilizers from your use because it's just another toxin that you're exposing yourself to. When you get fertilizers and pesticides in Home Depot and Lowe's and all these stores, unless there's something all natural about, truly all natural about it, you're exposing yourself and your property to chemicals. I don't care. I'm sorry. I'm not going to poison myself so I have a nice green lawn. There's got to be a better way, and there is. It's called zero landscaping. So maybe we should research that and do a show on it.
Yeah, well, I've interviewed lots of people at the Institute in regard to natural gardening and natural landscaping and all that kind of stuff. And there are so many plants out there where there's way too many to count. But there are some that are so conducive. Maybe we could get Susan Lerner on the show.
Sure, let's talk to her. That's a great idea.
Yes. The last couple of years, she's really immersed herself in that kind of information. And she would probably be happy to share that with some of the people that would really like to know about that. Also, Monica's husband, who was on the show with us for a long time, they do a lot of organic growing and things like that as well. So a couple other things I want to touch on, and then we're going to talk about trying to rid a house of bad energy. And that's like things like material that you build with. I had to repair something here, and I am still cleaning up the dust from the drywall. Now we have drywall, we have green board, we have, I'm drawing a blank for the names of all the rest of them, but they're all supposed to be keep things drier. Like I said, here in Florida, that's an issue. So, but the sawing of it, the cleaning up of it, you have to make sure that you clean all your filters on your AC. My AJ was with us the day that we did that. And, I mean, forget all the dust all over the house. Next day he wakes up and both eyes are infected. And at first I thought, oh, my God, what's he got, a cold in his eyes? And I realized that his tear ducts got clogged because his tear ducts were making mucus to clean themselves out because our bodies are cool like that. And it took 2 days for me to get his little eyes cleared up. And
well, one of the recommendations I can make with that, because this is something that happened to me as well, and then I found out afterwards, is that if you're having major construction done on your home and you're creating any kind of dust, like you said, sheetrock dust, thing that you're cutting and things like that,
mm-hmm.
And you're working anywhere near the intake of the air conditioner, you can do one of two things. You can either shut the air conditioner off for that day, which is actually the preferred way, although obviously in Florida that can be hazardous if you're talking a 90-degree day.
Yeah.
Or what you can do is that they actually sell these. They're door flaps. You just tape it onto the wall. It's with some sort of a tape that doesn't damage the wall, or it comes with a frame. Construction companies actually have a frame that can expand, and you put this, it's like a plastic sheeting, in front of where the air conditioner vent is, and then it's got a slit through it, so a person can walk through it, okay? But what you're doing is you're preventing about 95% of the dust of even getting to the air handler, and what it does is it greatly minimizes the issue. So if you can't shut the air conditioner off, then you want to protect it somehow, and you have to give it at least 5 to 6 feet in front of the air conditioning, the pickup plane. So, I mean, you can't have it resting. You can't tape up the air handler. But what you can do is go in front of that intake vent and several feet in front of it, put some sort of a protection up that's going to prevent the dust from being sucked in there. And what you do is you collect it in a different area.
That's a great idea.
This isn't something a private individual would, but a lot of construction companies also have these high-powered vacuum vents. It just looks like a big square opening. I think it's like 2 feet square, and it's attached to a very high-powered vacuum, and sometimes they'll put those aiming like on an angle to the air conditioning vent, and they just leave it on so that if any dust is going that way, it's getting collected before it gets into the pickup. So there's a couple things you can do, but it's really, really, really important to keep that dust from going into the air conditioner and circulating through the house because of exactly what you're talking about. It's going to get spit back out in other areas of the house. It could actually damage the air conditioner. So not only would it harm humans, but it could also damage the handler itself.
Well, and it can last for months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can literally last for months. And I think that it's important to remember that before you do any work. And I know that, and I still let it happen because I was rushed and worrying about other things. And after I did it, I was like, "What the hell were you thinking, Rainey?
I know.
Then there's like aerosol cans, hairsprays, Lysol to kill and disinfect. Laugh about that one. Building materials, all the other kind of things that we use in our house. There's also a big one with paint. And now almost all of your reputable paint companies put out a paint that's toxin-free. But read, just because it says no toxins in big letters on the front of the can doesn't necessarily mean that that's true. For those of you who believe everything that's advertised and all that kind of stuff on TV, like so many people I know, read what it says on the back, please, before you make a purchase and think that you're doing something that's good for your family and yourself. You have to be aware of what you're buying, regardless of what it says in the big fancy letters on the front. So all of those things, the ozone machines, all that kind of stuff are beneficial and helpful. And like I said, don't look on Craigslist and find some old ozone machine somebody's selling for $100 or something because I said ozone machine. You need to research and find the newer ozone machines that don't dry out the air so much because that can be just as dangerous as what you're trying to get rid of. So be careful. The old ozone machines, you couldn't even be in the room when you turned them on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you had to wait 24 hours after you set the timer, before you could go back in the room. So be smart. Again, don't just pick up one word and fly with it. So let's talk about energies, Shell. Shelley
right.
Has firsthand experience. I do a little bit, but nothing like Shell's story. So why don't you share a little bit about that house that you lived in when you were a kid?
Right. Well, I actually grew up in a haunted house, and there was a time where I wouldn't talk about it. I actually didn't talk about it until I was in my late 20s or 30s, just because it seemed so incredulous. People just didn't, and people today still, a lot of people still don't believe that there are energies that can affect a home and things like that. And for the first, 8 years that we lived in the house, we moved in when I was 8 years old. Within a couple of years, things just started happening that had no explanation, you know. And when you talk to a skeptic, they always come up with 20 different reasons. It was probably this, it was probably that, you know. But when you live in a haunted house, and I know other people that have had other experiences, and I do watch a lot of these shows like The Dead Files and Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters and Paranormal Witness. Paranormal Witness and Dead Files are two of the best, I think, because it's actually the people that experience certain things. And when you see these people talking about what happened to them in their homes and the experiences they had, number one, like me, there is no other explanation, okay? So for all the skeptics out there, it's ludicrous because these people were all skeptics. It's not people that were, trying to, you know, it wasn't people that wanted this to be happening to them. And in some cases, like me, they would live for years and years and years with the activity in their houses before they finally caved in and was like, this has got to be paranormal. They kept trying to find other reasons for what was going on in their homes. And that's kind of where we were when I was a kid. We always tried to explain things away. We would see things, hear things. We kept losing. I'll tell one quick story because it just kind of shows what I'm talking about. We kept losing knives and scissors in my house all the time. They would just you'd be using them, turn around, go to pick them up, and they'd be gone. It was just like a curiosity. And this went on for years. And we could never figure it out, but we were always buying more knives and scissors. And then one day, a couple years later, we were doing some work in the back of our house, and we had to move this old green patent leather couch. I don't know if you remember the old patent leather furniture.
Yeah, and I do.
So in order to carry it, we were going to stand it up on its side. So we take the cushions off, and here are dozens of knives and scissors under the cushions of the couch. How creepy. I tell you, we were in the three of us, my mom, my sister, and me, the three of us are standing there looking at this, and it was disturbing. And we're looking at each other okay, which one of us needs therapy, you know? It was just creepy. And we almost were speechless. We took everything out of the cushions, and we actually couldn't speak to each other for a few minutes. It was that disturbing to see something like that. And we were so shaken up by it that we really didn't talk about it. We took everything and we put them all in the kitchen, and we talked a little bit about it, but it wasn't until a few months later that we really had a discussion about it, because my mom, my sister, and I were in the kitchen. We were going to a birthday party. We had a pair of scissors, and we're handing it back and forth. The three of us are in the kitchen. Nobody left. See, this is what I'm talking about with skeptics. Skeptics will say somebody in the house did it or this or that. You know, they'll make up all kinds of excuses. Unless you live it, you can't understand. There's no other explanation. The three of us are in the kitchen. We're handing a pair of scissors back and forth. Nobody left the kitchen, and this room where that couch is at the back of the house. You have to walk through three other rooms to get to it. I'm using the scissors. I set it down on the table. My sister asks me for the scissors. I said, they're right there on the table. She said, no, they're not. The three of us are there handing the scissors back and forth, and they're gone. They just were gone. I put them on the table. They're not there anymore. So the three of us look at each other because of what had happened a few months earlier. We decide to walk to the back of the house together. We get back there. We're all staring at the cushions okay, who's going to lift the cushion first to see? So I just stepped forward because I'm impatient. I was I just wanted to see what was going on. Lift up. There's the scissors under the cushion. And, I mean, we didn't see it floating through the air. It was there, and then it wasn't there. And then it turned up being inside that couch again. So that's called aporting or a walkabout. There's actually terms for this. There's a brilliant, sensitive, she's a physical medium called Cindy Dale, who's written a lot of books. She's written books about chakra energy. She's written books about psychic sensitivity and things like that. She was actually a psychic, I think, since she was 4 years old. start either 4 or 8. It started very young for her. And so she talks about all these different terms. And what aporting or walkabout is when an aport is when some physical thing manifests literally out of thin air. You're sitting there talking to somebody, and then all of a sudden there's a physical object near you. It could be a coin, it could be a feather, it could be a rock, but it was there, it wasn't there, and then all of a sudden it is. That's aporting, where physical things just all of a sudden manifest. And this happens to a lot of people, and they shrug it off because our brains can't really, you know, analyze that. So we make up other excuses for it. A walkabout is what happened to us with the scissors. It's where something physical is in one place in full view, all of a sudden is not there. You don't actually see it leave, but all of a sudden you're aware that it's not where it was. It could be, and it's usually something small. And then you go to another area of the house, and all of a sudden it's somewhere else, and no physical person, no living person moved it. It just wasn't where it was and appears somewhere else. One of the shows I watched, interestingly, it happened with a car battery. One of the places that was being haunted was a repair shop. So you see these big, burly guys, and, you know, the interviewer was talking. He said, "You look pretty burly." He said, "It doesn't seem like much would scare you." But this guy was petrified of his repair shop. He didn't want to be alone there because stuff would happen. And he said one night he was working on a car, and he had taken the battery out because something had happened to this battery, put it on the side of the fender, turned around to get the new battery to put it in, and the old battery was gone. He said as he turned around to get the new battery, he sees that the old battery's gone, and he's like, "Well, what the hell happened? It didn't fall on the floor. It was just gone." So it kind of shook him up a little bit because it just – and all the stuff had already been happening, so this kind of shook him up. He goes into the refrigerator to make himself a soda, opens the freezer to get some ice, and the battery's in the freezer. Now, how did it go from the – you know? And he said, like, how did that happen? So he closed up and left. He said it shook him up so badly he couldn't even stay there that night because he was there working alone. And other things had happened that had already kind of put him on edge. And the stories are always the same, and this is what happened to me. All of a sudden you'll have a cold spot. It could be 95 degrees outside, and all of a sudden you'll walk into a room and there's a cold spot, sometimes so cold that you can actually see your breath and all the hairs stand up on your arms and the back of your neck. This is for real. This really happens. And sometimes it's residual. And what I mean by residual is that if any kind of an illness or any kind of a violent or some sort of a traumatic event happened, trauma, fear, anger, things like that, the trauma you would go through being injured, like say if you fell down a flight of stairs, as that's happening, there's that panic emotion, which is very, very dense, okay? Everything is energy, and we have science now actually being able to create pieces of equipment that can monitor this now. So when you have particular emotions, fear, anger, sadness, these are all dense, energetic emotions, which means when you're feeling them, they can actually permeate the energy around you. Feelings of hope, love, kindness, these are very light energies, so they don't linger, all right? But trauma energies do. That's why whenever you have hauntings, whether they're residual or active, it's always these negative emotions because those are the denser emotions that kind of get stuck to the land, so to speak. The land could be physical, like earth or a home or property. Sometimes they get stuck on property. Have you ever heard these things that people will buy things at antique shops, take them home with them, and all of a sudden, you know, all hell breaks loose in their home? Some of the stories I've heard have been because of that. You know, they're living in their homes for 10 years, nothing, nothing, nothing. They stop at an antique shop. They see a cute little dresser. They bring it home. And then all of a sudden, you know, within a couple weeks or months, you know, they're being attacked in their own home. And the energy of their home has changed and things like that. You know, or somebody moves into a new house and all of a sudden everybody's getting sick or everybody's at each other's throats. So there seems to be anger or sadness in a family that didn't have this. One of the families I had seen, they had moved into a home and it was a big family. I think it was 7 or 8 people. And once they moved into this house, they were at each other's throats all the time. One of the older, the mother was starting to have suicidal thoughts. And this was like, and anytime they left the property, like if they had to go into town to shop, then they were all okay. The minute they get back to the property, bam, then all this acrimony would happen again, and they'd be at each other's throats again. And they all started getting sick. But they would go to the doctor, and the doctor couldn't find anything wrong with them. But they were having breathing problems and things like this. So so when they found out that there was a history on this land, that everybody that lived there before, so there were a couple of murders on the property, there were two suicides, and so it's like the land was almost bad. And one of these physical mediums came in. She doesn't know the history of the place, and she almost couldn't finish her walk because she was being so bombarded with these feelings of depression and all that. You know, she feels what the other people feel. And she told the family, you know, what they had to do as far as clearing the property and things like that. But, you know, whether you believe in, whether you believe that there's entities or things like that can affect you, the one thing that's irrefutable, which is scientific, is residual energy. And this has nothing to do with the haunting. So if that's a little too far afield from you, that's a subject for another day. But the one thing that has been proven with scientific equipment is something called residual energy. So if you move into a house or if you go into an area, a job, a house, or whatever, and all of a sudden you notice that you feel different when you're there, either emotionally or physically, you should clear the area. And there's many different ways. You can sage yourself. You have to know a little bit about what you're doing, so you should Google sage clearing and read up, because there's certain things you need to say to make it effective, okay? Or there are people that do that. I have friends of mine, a man and a woman, husband and wife team, that actually do that. They go into businesses and new homes that people are going into, and they clear them first before the people move their property in. So in case there's any residual negative energy, in case, instead of like having to research the history of the place you're moving into, okay, unless it's a brand new home, obviously, but in case, you know, you don't want to spend the time going through city archives, seeing if anything ever happened, just sage it. Clear it of any negativity. Clear it of any of issues. And I'm actually researching this right now. It's going to be the subject of my second book, is that a lot of illnesses today are actually brought about by people moving into places that were once sick homes or where somebody died of a particular illness. And then you see that now all of a sudden, and this individual doesn't know anything about the history of their property, but now all of a sudden they're having the exact same symptoms of somebody that died on the property. And when you go back 50 or 100 years, you find out that there was a group of people that all died of the same thing, and now this modern-day person, out of the blue, is having this same illness, and the doctors say, yes, you have this, but we can't figure out how you got it. It makes no sense because it wasn't something they were predisposed for. You know, they didn't do anything that brought it about, and how come all of a sudden they have this illness? It made no sense to them. So it's a fascinating subject. But one of the best things to do is to clear your area, to either learn how to do it yourself or to look up on the Internet and find people that say they do house clearings or business building clearings. And it's just an absolutely fascinating subject, and I'm studying it more and more and more now.
Well, we did it a lot at the Institute, especially since death was something that happened at the Institute. Illness, acute illness, and if that happened in one of our rooms in the latter years, I would sage the rooms. And I often, after renovating, painting, doing any kind of repairs, like at the therapy building or something, I would come in very, very early in the morning and sage all the therapy rooms and everything. And I don't consider myself any kind of a shaman or anything like that, but I have a good heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did it with, is promoting good energy, love, and just cleaning the air a little bit. And I think it is imperative, especially if you're going to do something different in a building that it's never been used for as well, and if you're going to do any kind of caregiving or counseling or anything like that, or certainly your family home life. We are out of time. I think this Shelley and I knew this would be a fun show, and there's so much to learn. And you're always welcome to contact us and talk to us if you're having issues like this. We're happy to hear from all of you. But we'll be back tomorrow, and tomorrow we are going to talk about what we were going to talk about on Monday, and that is the horrible orphanage story that came out of Ireland this past week. And we're going to talk about it because I think that it shows us that as bad as we think we are today, in some ways we're better. So everybody go out and have a great day. God bless, and I hope you'll join us tomorrow. Bye-bye. Thanks, Shel. Talk to you in a little bit.
Okay, I'll talk to you in a bit.
Bye-bye, dear.
Bye-bye.